1 Peter chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I want to stop reading right there. You and I, we can look through this wonderful chapter and realize the salvation that we have through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we also understand that there are trials to our faith. But I'm glad that our God is able to bring us safely through the trials and make us more than conquerors and give us the victory. The angels do not understand the things that you and I have. They do not understand what it's like to be saved. They have no idea what it's like to overcome these trials that we go through. They don't even understand why God would even bother with such sinful creatures as we are. But this morning you and I have something that's rare, something that's unique, something that's special, and it's something that the angels desire to look into. There was that moment in eternity past when the great 3-in-1 counseled together for the creation of the world. God, knowing all things, looked ahead in time, and he foresaw that his creation of man would fall prey to sin. God's law required that innocent blood would be a sacrifice for the remission of man's sins. And that was the only way that mankind, you and I, could ever be forgiven, through the sacrifice of the blood. As the angels looked on this meeting of the great 3-in-1, the angels began to wonder, what are they speaking of? What manner of discussion is taking place? And then the angels hear the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, say, "Yes, Father, I will go." A period of time elapses, but in the eternity of heaven, time always passes swiftly. The angels of glory, they watch Jesus as they leave his throne, disrobing himself of glory and preparing to come to this earth, to live upon this earth, to be born in a manger. The angels again wonder, what is the meaning of this? And Jesus is going to do what has never, ever been done before. You see, God beckons his angels around, and he says to Gabriel, he says, "I want you to take this message to Mary. She's a virgin." So Gabriel goes to Mary with this message. He says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. To the angel of the Lord, God the Father says, I want you to find Joseph, and I want you to take a message to him. And so the angel of the Lord leaves the splendor of heaven and finds a carpenter by the name of Joseph, who is a spouse to this virgin by the name of Mary. And the scripture says that the angel says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The angel flies back to heaven and says, I have given the message, Father, that you would have me to send to Joseph and to Mary. Some months pass, about nine, and God beckons for the angel of the Lord to come. And he says, I want you to go to the Judean hillside, and I want you to find a group of lowly shepherds that are watching over their sheep by night. And I want you to go and tell them that my son is born. So the angel of the Lord makes his way with all of the heavenly hosts to that Judean hillside. And he brings a message from the lips of Almighty God to these shepherds. And he says to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. All the angels gather back in glory. They wonder what manner of message that the earth has just received. That wonderful night, as all of heaven's angels watched, they stood in a manger. They stood in amazement, looking over that manger. Here is God, wrapped up in a baby's skin, in the form of man. What do these things mean? You see, these are the things the angels desire to look into. During his earthly ministry, all that could be said about Jesus was that he went about doing good. God gave charge of the angels to watch over him and to observe him. You know, they watched how he went to the deaf man and touched his ears and caused that man to hear again. They watched as he went to the dumb man and the man was able to talk after Jesus touched him. They watched as he found a lame man who was crippled, and he raised the lame man up to walk, to run, and to praise God. The angel saw as he went to the blind man, and he laid hands upon him and caused the blind man to see. He even raised the dead back to life. Jesus Christ forgave sins. The devil and all the demons of hell, oh, how they hated him. They would do their very best to try to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to sin. Yet, our Savior remains sinless. My friend, Jesus did live a spotless, sinless life before man and before God, his Father. Jesus' ministry was one of perfect love, yet many hated him. And the angels was concerned that the world and all of those demons would try to turn against him. And they were concerned that no harm would ever come to Jesus. But after 3.5 years of a ministry of perfection, the angels could not believe how their prince was treated. He was run out of town. He was ridiculed. He was rejected. They knew who this was, the Son of Almighty God, the King of all glory. But see, the time had come when God allowed the angels to become completely helpless. God allowed them to watch as a bloodthirsty mob arrested our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and lead him away and bring him to a false trial. The angels looked on. They heard those false accusations. And the angels saw how Jesus was sentenced by Pilate to a scourging and to be spit upon, to be slapped, and to be spitefully treated. One angel went back to God and said, "Father, can we not go and bring him home?" And God says, "No. This is my will being carried out." At this moment, all of heaven seems as brass. Only silence can be found. The angels stand in amazement as they watch Jesus being led up Calvary's hill. They watch him as he lay down his life and submits himself to death, even death upon the cross. While upon that cross, Jesus suffered such agony and such shame. And he shed his own blood, every last drop. The angels beg God, "Please let us take Jesus down from that cross." But God would not allow it. The angels watch in amazement, filled with wonder, as Jesus says, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." They watched Jesus as he gave up the ghost and he died. Their wings lowered. Their hearts were no longer strumming a jubilant tune anymore. Only mere silence is heard. The prince that they worshiped is gone. The angels look on with tears. They do not understand, why did Jesus, the Prince of Glory, have to die? Why would he die for a wicked world such as we? These are the things the angels desire to look into. After Jesus' death, and just over a few days, the devil thinks he has Jesus bound forever in the grave. Can you just hear the devil, the demons, and all the world celebrate? The Roman government and the entire world thought surely this was the end of this man named Jesus. But on the third day, suddenly a great earthquake. And an angel, on assignment from God, descends from heaven. The soldiers fall as dead men at the sight of such a being. The angel looks at the tomb. The stone still seals the mouth of the grave. The angel knows what he must do. He places his mighty hands upon that stone and rolls it away and assumes a position upon the rock. Coming down the trail is a group of women. As they approach the tomb, the angel notices their look of astonishment. The women notice that the stone has been rolled away and has an angel seated upon it. Surely they were startled and frightened, and they fell to the ground. But listen as the angel says, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." After the angel spoke this, the angel returns home to heaven. As he enters into heaven, he beckons with a loud cry, "The Lord is alive, and the Lord is coming home." Jesus right behind him, with his own blood, he ascends to heaven, to the mercy seat of Almighty God. And there, seven times, he sprinkles his blood as the eternal atonement for all of man's sin. You see, the judgment cried death, but praise God, the blood cries mercy. And the Father says, "Satisfied, satisfied. My wrath is now forever satisfied." Jesus returns back to the earth, now with a glorified body. He is seen by his disciples and many others for a period of about 40 days. And then from the Mount of Olives, with the disciples looking on, Jesus ascends back into heaven. The angel says, "This same Jesus, which was taken, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven." He enters glory again. The angels on bended knee and folded wing honor his arrival. One angel spoke to him and said, "What are these wounds? They were not here when you left." Jesus announces to all of heaven, "I have paid the price for mankind. No longer will man be bound by sin. They may be saved and come to be where we are." As the angels heard this great proclamation, they wondered, what do all these things mean? You see, these are the things the angels desire to look into. Jesus assumes his place at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. The angels continue, as always from eternity past, to praise the great three in one. They fly around the throne, and can you hear them as they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." The angels now seem to always notice that Jesus is listening to someone other than themselves. And they notice that Jesus speaks to the Father about what he has seen and what he has heard. They notice frequently as Jesus shows the Father his side, his hands, and his feet. And for some reason, Jesus speaks to his Father about the blood that's upon the mercy seat. The angels' praises are briefly interrupted as Jesus calls all the inhabitants of heaven, and he says, "Another whosoever will, is coming home." The angels watch as all of heaven begins to rejoice, even greater than they were before. One man proclaims, "Hallelujah! That whosoever will that just got saved is my boy. When his eyes upon the earth, he was still unsaved. But I prayed for him, and I was called home to heaven. And now I see God is answering my prayers even after I'm in heaven." Praises to the name of Jesus begin to echo all over heaven. Jesus again calls the inhabitants of glory, and he says, "Here is another name being recorded in the Lamb's book of life." Can you hear that little lady as she exclaims, "That name that was just recorded is my husband. My husband's just got saved, and he's on his way to heaven." She shouts to a bystander. Can you hear all of heaven? As it's like this all the time. One by one, as sinners are saved, heaven breaks out in jubilation, praising the name of Jesus for his sacrifice and for his suffering. You see, friends, the angels stand at attention, and they watch, and they hear such rejoicing.
in their presence, sinners are being saved on the earth, and all of heaven shouts, but the angels hardly understand. You see, these things, these are the things that the angels desire to look into. Let me take time out and say this. There was a day when they shouted over my soul being saved. When I made my way to an old-fashioned altar and Jesus saved me, I could hear them old-time preachers, them old-time saints of God said, well, bless the name of Jesus for another soul being saved. Right here last week, 13 more precious souls were saved. Can you imagine how heaven shouted? We on earth were filled with praise, but heaven is shouting because they know the reward in the end. They know what Jesus has done for them. And one day, we'll be on the other side in that number, shouting and praising God forever because Jesus saves. I say hallelujah. As this great joy continues, one angel, he notices God the Father say to the Son, Son, it's time. Jesus steps forth, and there's a trumpet that is sounded. His voice cries, children, it's time. Come home. All of heaven is now prepared. It's time. The streets of glory are lined with people in anticipation. The time has arrived. The graves upon the earth, they give way to victory. Those that were alive and remained are raptured home. God's children have a glorified body. No longer to know pain and suffering. No longer to know old age. No longer to know disease. I thank God for that. Heaven's cry runs through the street and announces, they're here, they're here. All of heaven is prepared. The bride of Christ has come home. The angels watch intently as a vast number of people from every walk of life, a number that's innumerable, all these robed in white come forth, and the crier announces, this is the bride of the Lamb. These are they whom the angels have been guarding. These are they for whom great joy in heaven broke out. And I want to take time out and say, I am in that number. You are in that number. These are the elect of Almighty God. These are they for whom Christ was wounded for. As the angels watch, with their wings drawn back, the greatest event in all of heaven takes place. The wedding that heaven has been preparing for all eternity between Christ as the groom and His bride, the church, is taking place. Oh, what splendor! Oh, what beauty! The marriage supper is then served, a table as far as the eye can see. What a moment! After the supper, all gather around the throne and a chorus breaks out. We're singing the song of the redeemed. It begins to echo throughout all of heaven. It is a song that the angels cannot sing, and they stand and hold silence to. You see, those are the things the angels desire to look into as this great celebration continues. As the angels look on, one angel looks to another angel and stands to his feet and folds back his wings, and he shouts, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Another shouts, glory. One shouts, hallelujah. And another shouts, amen, and amen, and amen. And all at once, the great angel band, along with the heavenly host, a number of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, break out in a chorus, worthy is the Lamb. Church, He is worthy. So may I say, when times get hard and the road gets rough and bumpy at times, when it seems cold and you feel like the fire inside of you is about to go out or at least is ebbing low, when the devil and all of hell is breathing down your neck, just think, what you and I have is rare. God's salvation, God's grace and God's mercy. It's a mystery, but you and I have something that the angels desire to look into. He'll stand to your feet. I wonder if there might be somebody here this morning. You might want to come to the old-fashioned altar and say, what a Christmas, what a Savior, what a God to send His Son to be wounded for me, that I might be in heaven, that I, a sinner, could be saved by grace and could be changed forever. And I go to the altar this morning. I worship the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This morning you can come. Angels this morning, as you bow, they stand around saying, I know He's worthy, but I don't understand what it's like to be lost and to be saved and to have sins forgiven, to go through trials and to be helped of God. But you and I have something the angels desire to look into. Hey, if they would worship Him and we have more, surely we should worship Him this morning. Would you come, friend? Oh, what a Savior Jesus is.